Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As the Invisible Man attempts to reboot the Dark Universe again, let's look at the very first Dark Universe film, but not really, because it's also a reboot of The Mummy from 1932. We're talking about The Mummy, 1999.
We came into the room to record this, and I'm like, why are we doing this again? And I'm like, I assume it's because Universal Pictures, the owner of a bunch of pseudo-public domain monster movies from back in the day,
that they've run into the ground.
They're attempting to do it again.
Yes.
They tried to do it with Dracula Untold. They tried to do it with The Mummy 2017.
They tried to do it with The Mummy Tomb of the Emperor Dragon, which is the threequel to this.
Oh, yeah.
They tried it with The Scorpion King, the spin-off. They tried it with The Wolfman. They tried it with Bride of Frankenstein. Anyway, I think The Invisible
Man... They tried it with The Creature from the Black Lagoon, and he runs a sandwich truck. You know? No one.
Yeah.
It's just a lovable adventure. Some friends.
But I think this movie, though, is the reason they keep trying this, because this was a huge movie. It's part Indiana Jones, part Terminator, part Ray Harryhausen. Mm. All adventure, Mason!
Well, here's the thing, because this thing we do... is called Caravan of Garbage.
And do people leave a like normally?
They absolutely do on Caravan of Garbage.
I thought so.
Whether they enjoyed the video or not, they just do it, all right? They just do it. But I think maybe people are wondering why we're talking about The Mummy. Mm. And honestly, this is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
In terms of like fun action movies, if this movie were never released, if this movie were put in a vault, a tomb, if you will, and it was released now, I think people would still enjoy it as an action movie.
I agree.
And I think there's only a couple of things that would let it down this year. The visual effects have that sort of air of not quite there-ity.
A lot of it's
which is
good,
quite
some
common,
of it's
But I think that was quite common in like the mid to late 90s. And speaking of not quite there-ity, Rachel Weisz's character has a serious case of turn of the millennium eyebrows.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
They're practically non-existent.
Yeah.
She is very lucky they grew back.
Oh, absolutely. You know a person's age by how thin their eyebrows are.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she wasn't wearing like low slung, like flared jeans in that era. But anyway, this movie's very good.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yes.
Action packed.
Well, you mentioned Rachel Weisz. She's terrific. Apparently, she's the only one that was offered the role directly.
Oh.
Everybody else kind of had to audition. They went through a number of people. John Hannah's great. Apparently, if we're talking Rick O'Connell,
our
leading man, Brad Pitt was considered, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Matthew McConaughey. It was offered to Stallone. Tom Cruise also had a look in, who ended up being in a Mummy movie anyway.
When he signed onto that one, he's like, this is going to be exactly the same as the old one, right? And they're like, yep.
Can you do me hair as good as Brendan Fraser's hair from 1999? You absolutely cannot top this hair.
But we'll try.
Yes. Mm. DiCaprio was also offered the part and he wanted to do it, but he was committed to the movie The Beach, where he was mostly sitting on a beach or running through a beach. I like that movie. I think it's underrated. But I think what they did do then was go, okay, can we get Brendan Fraser then and just give him Leonardo DiCaprio's Titanic hair?
Sure, yeah.
Brendan Fraser is excellent.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, because I think a few people have pulled off this Indiana Jones-esque adventurer. I think there's obviously Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
There's Brendan Fraser.
And Nicolas Cage in National Treasure. And National Treasure 2. Mm-hmm. And National Treasure 3, The Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
I think his hair lets him down in that one. I think Chris Pratt gets pretty close
for
in
sure,
Guardians
yeah.
of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's one of those things where they keep trying to do, and it's a very fine line between smug prick and confident and kind of a buffoon. And he manages to walk that line because he's not incredibly bright. Like, there's a moment where he shoots the mummy with a shotgun, and then later he's like, I got him, don't even worry about it. They're like, no, he's undead. And he's like, no, I got him. I shot him, don't worry about
it.
But
this is also the 30s.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Pretty sure, you
know. Well, mid-20s. Oh, well. I believe. But then there's moments where he's like, oh, he doesn't like cats. And then he, you know, he uses that to his advantage. So, you know, he's not a complete dummy.
He just takes a cat off his utility belt.
Exactly.
He's always a man who's got a cat ready. That's why people like him. They're all kind of terrible people. Yeah, that's why you like it. That's why I like this movie, is because it's all the characters to one degree or another are terrible people.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
Even like John Hannah's like he's a low-level scumbag.
He should be in jail.
With a veneer of being a gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's an additional thrill of this movie of like, boy, I sure hope that they escape the clutches of the mummy. But at the same time, it'd be fine if they didn't.
It's not a big deal, yeah. So I've just written this thought down, and I don't know why. Is it worth bringing up? I've written, I wonder what Imhotep would think of the movie Cats. Like, would it melt him? Is that a topical current reference? Is that why?
No, that's a good reference. I don't think he'd recognize any of the creatures on screen as a cat. But I mean, if you put him in that room, I think just the idea of a film would terrify him enough that he'd go on some sort of bloody rampage.
Sure, so yeah. He'd turn into a big sand tornado.
Probably best not risk resurrecting him again, I would say, probably.
Okay, to show him the movie Cats.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question, though. You know how Brendan Fraser is in the big Cairo prison, right?
Yes.
There's a moment when they enter it, and there's just a dude on a big wooden rat wheel just running.
Okay.
Is that powering anything?
He's Are you
just,
sure?
No, I looked, I rewound it. He's just having a jog. Is it an exercise wheel? Is that what they've put it in there for?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, maybe...
Was that a common thing? Just a big wooden rat wheel that you had to be on?
So you went to the effort of researching whether the big rat wheel was in fact in the movie and whether it was connected to anything, but you didn't do any research into Egyptian prisons of the 20s to see if that was a common exercise technique for the prisoners?
Look, if somebody could do that research and talk about it below, I'd really appreciate it, because now that I think about it, maybe it's something I should have looked into if I was going to bring it up.
Oh, God, I hope we get an email from a guy and it's like, I exclusively research Egyptian prisons in the 20s. And I want to be clear, this is the most accurate representation I've ever seen on film. I live in despair every day because there's never been a better one.
It's a wheel to nowhere. Why did they build it? I don't know. Anyway, apparently also he was hung for real in that scene and had to be revived. Oh, that also happened
excuse
to Michael.
Me?
Yeah, that happened to Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future 3, where they just accidentally hanging people on set. Like, I think it was a thing that just used to happen sometimes.
My goodness.
Yeah. Because normally there's like a fake brace that they put them in. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's actor's hubris. They're like, hey, you'll be fine in this, right? And they're like, yeah, sure, I'll be
I'm
fine.
A tough guy.
I worked on my abs, I worked on my neck.
That's right. Well, Brendan Fraser's even said more recently that these films kind of ruined his body doing these stunts. Like, he's got permanent injury, and by the third Mummy film, he was just held together by like tape and ice. If you see him in that movie, like, he's in good shape.
Yeah, right.
But he's broken.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, we're in that era where the whole deal with movies now is you just get a funny guy, you work him to the bone and give him abs.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not sustainable. That's insanity.
I agree, yeah.
I say, having not worked on my abs at all.
It's insane, though.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's the thread that I'm holding on to and not hanging myself with.
I also enjoy the snivelly villain in this, played by Kevin J. O'Connor, Benny.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I like the moment where he's like, hey, O'Connell, nice camel. And then you see later that he's also on a camel. So I don't know whether that's a mistake or not, but I just like the fact that he's just looking for anything to make fun of him about. And he's like, nice camel, slightly worse than my camel, maybe?
Well, again, if you'd done your research, you would know that there was some very, very subtle but important distinctions between the two camels. If we could get an email
from a camel expert from 1926.
Well, exactly. They have, you know, breeding has shortened their legs significantly.
Ah.
Their humps are on the bottom now, you know.
What? So
it's like corgis, you know.
Oh, God. They've done it all wrong.
They used to be a noble beast, and now they're just a, you know.
Sure. They're all backwards, yeah. Mm-hmm. Quick question.
Yes.
Why would you give Imhotep, the high priest, a super weird, super involved curse that means he can definitely come back from the dead and reap revenge, knowing that if he did return, he'd arise a walking disease, a plague upon all mankind, in addition to being an unholy flesh eater with the strength of the ages, with the power over sands and the glory of invincibility? Why would you chance any of that, is what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you just cut his throat and just put him in a bin?
Well, first of all, That does sound very appealing. But second of all, you get to do the prank.
The prank of...
You wrap the guy up.
Yeah.
At like a mummy.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, don't worry, we're gonna get out of this. It's just this is funny.
We've already cut your tongue off.
Pretty funny. Yeah. It's pretty funny. And then you stick him in the sarcophagus and you fill it with flesh-eating beetles. How funny is that? You know what I mean? You don't think to the future. You think of the...
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
And also, they're not going to be around, are they? Because exactly. They don't have the undead curse.
Yeah.
So apparently there is an explanation behind those scarab beetles, you know, that are they're quite quick and they're everywhere and they're flesh-eating. Mm.
Yeah.
Apparently because they're in the coffin with him, they eat him and he eats them, and it's just this eternal kind of cyclical thing. It's not mentioned in the movie, but that is the explanation. And that's when one, like, crawls into his face. He just eats it like it's like a piece of popcorn.
Okay, right.
Because it's just like a snack to him after being trapped for thousands of years. He's like, yeah, there's no big deal, mate.
I was going to say it's like some sort of massive sea creature like a whale or something, and it's got like barnacles or like krill on it or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's more like if you ate a cereal and the cereal also ate you.
Yes, that's exactly what
so
it's
like.
So
it does make sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You mentioned the groundbreaking ILM special effects. There's things like the giant sand face. It's a bit chonky, like nowadays, but for the time, they sold it on that. They were like, check out this giant sand face.
Mm.
So I think it still holds up for the most part, but then there's moments where like, Brendan Fraser has to fight a whole lot of... It's not. But where he has to fight a whole lot of mummies, and he does this kind of balletic kind of sweep where the camera moves around him and he's kicking them and he's cutting them.
Was this pre or post The Matrix? Because it's the same year.
Same year. Oh, well, they wouldn't have known that.
Exactly, yeah.
But in that...
It was just in the zeitgeist. Just having a bunch of cameras around.
Yeah, having a bunch of cameras around. Yeah, that was in the zeitgeist. But if you look at the behind-the-scenes stuff, and it's pretty obvious when you look at it, none of those people or mummies are actually there, and he's just swinging madly at nobody in the behind-the-scenes footage. Yeah, it's quite funny, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very clear case of, yeah, we'll fix it later.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do some swinging, we'll sort it.
So the villain, played by Darkman 2's own...
Arnold Vosloo.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So the villain in this, though, it's mentioned multiple times in the behind-the-scenes by the director and others that, look, we don't just want some shuffly bandage man, we want real cool CGI stuff happening. If you watch the behind-the-scenes, it's just them saying that again and again. Also, if you want behind-the-scenes where it's just people talking about muscles shifting under skin in CGI representations of human people, then there's about a 30-minute section on that, and it's... I mean, it's incredible, but fuck me, it's boring. I admire the work, but like, whew.
You say that, but we're going to get an email from a guy who's like, well, I personally studied muscle movements solely in Egyptians in the 1920s, and let me tell you, actually, this one was quite inaccurate, so I don't know what to say.
First of all, George Romero wanted to make this movie during the 90s, and he was going to have a more horror-style version with a more horrific mummy, and because this is PG-13, they tried to walk that line between... He's horrific and you can kind of see through him some of his organs and some of his skin, and he slowly regenerates. But it's never like bloody or messy in a way.
It's more dusty.
It's more dusty. It's more like kindling.
Yeah.
But I think overall, I think the effect works really well. And for a mostly entirely CGI component for a lot of this, I think that the detail in it still holds up. Except for the bit where he goes into the water at the end and goes, doesn't look that good, does it?
But I mean, they've never perfected that, have they?
I think they have. I mean, they did it in the...
Thumbs down to this movie, then.
Yeah, big old thumbs down. Yeah. So you would not be surprised by this, but there's been a number of spin-offs and tie-ins and sequels and the like, and I'm going to run you through some of them. You, of course, remember that we looked at the video game adaptation of this.
Oh, my God.
Here's a clip. One of the worst things we've ever looked at. Is that inaccurate?
Is that the one with a weird Rick O'Connell head?
Yes.
He's like a block and his head's been pasted on it. Yeah, okay.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, that's awful.
It's like a Tomb Raider knockoff.
Yeah.
But also, there are a number of sequels. Stephen Sommers, who directed this, Universal phoned him the morning after this movie was released, and they're like, we need another one, which ended up being The Mummy Returns.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the spin-off The Scorpion King, and then the spin-offs from The Scorpion King that aren't starring The Rock. There's the third one, obviously. There's the animated series.
Excuse me,
yes.
Never even heard of that.
That's right. The Mummy 2017 might also be in the same universe because... Because mummies, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But also the book... is in that.
Oh, The Beautiful Golden Book.
The Beautiful Golden Book. Or the other book. One of the books is in it. I'm not watching The Mummy again, all right? Am I? And also, Brendan Fraser also turns up in G.I. Joe, which was also directed by Stephen Sommers.
Oh, okay.
And he's mentioned kind of, look, loosely in canon, let's just say that he's a descendant of Rick O'Connell.
And he does say, look, I know you're fighting cobras,
mm.
but watch out for the mummy. 1999.
That's what he says. Yeah, exactly. So I just think it's really interesting that this universe, it's spun off so much just from this one blockbuster that just really took off and has never quite been replicated. Yeah. I don't mind The Mummy Returns. I wouldn't mind coming back and looking at it for this. Let us know if you want us to. But
boy, there's some ropey Scorpion King CGI in that movie, let me tell you.
Is there ever. But I think a lot of the elements from that movie are just directly kind of brought back. They're like, oh, Imhotep's back and he's, instead of a big sand face, he's a water face, et cetera, and so forth.
You know, sure,
I mean,
yeah,
it's all of that. And I like the idea behind the third one that they're going to China and it's the Terracotta Warriors and it's a whole different kind of lore behind it.
Mm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 syndrome.
Exactly. As in, it's not a good movie regardless of
But we're going to Asia, yeah.
Yeah, but we're going to Asia. Look, all in all, I think, look, it's definitely of its time, but it is that kind of gem that mostly holds up.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Like we said, there's elements of it that, you know, it's clearly dated because it's a 20-year-plus old movie at this
point. But again, it's a movie about an Egyptian mummy coming back to life and killer scarab beetles.
Yes.
If you can hold on to that suspension of disbelief for that, you can probably hold on to it for some of the CGI doesn't look so great.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's not what I feel is driving the movie. I think it's what got people into theatres, but it's not what makes it still interesting. Because otherwise people would be talking about Wild Wild West because that had CGI too, didn't it?
No one remembers.
Yeah. Giant, remember the song about the giant metal spider?
Yeah.
Giant metal spider!
Bam, 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 ba down. Yeah, I remember it.
We'll probably never cover that for this because they're never doing another one of those, are we? Are they? They're never doing another Wild Wild West.
I mean, never say never.
Never say never. I guess you're probably right.
That's right.
I'm curious though, and I'm throwing this out to you specifically. Would you like to see a sequel to this? Returning Ooh, cast members.
Yes.
Bearing in mind, Rachel Weisz didn't come back for the third one.
Oh.
But do you think...
She's doing Marvel movies now, you know.
Oh, she'd definitely come back.
Yeah.
But do you think it would play now? Do you think everybody's too old?
Do you think she's willing to pluck her eyebrows to the same level?
I don't think she would, definitely not. I don't think so. I don't even think she did it for the second one.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, would you see a sequel, though?
Absolutely, I would.
But do you think it would work?
I don't know.
Because I don't think it would.
No, see, that's the thing.
I think it'd be very much Indiana Jones 4 kind of syndrome. The difference being the first three of those movies are good.
Yes.
Yeah, also.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I mean, I would very much like to, just on the back of the movie, the one movie, but given the huge number of spin-offs you've mentioned, all of which are bad.
Yes.
Then I don't hold out much hope for it.
People
hey, anything could be good.
Anything could be good. And do people want to see it? You never know, do you?
That's so true.
Good. But generally, things aren't good, are they?
I'll watch a thing with Brendan Fraser in it.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week. If you do have a suggestion, please hit us up. I know we did a poll on Patreon to see what other Dark Universe movies do people want us to look at. It seems we've got a definitive answer on that. I'm not happy about it, but that's got that one's coming up. But in regards to what's coming next week, here's a hint.
I can't say it. So
I don't know what it is. It might be Star Wars Clone Wars. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, cool.
This
cool,
is the extended audio shit that people, this is what people pay top dollar for, this kind of content
they
that
pay
I
pay $1.
In. One top. No, I think this also goes out to everybody.
Oh, then they pay $0.
$0. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, subscribe if you want for any of that, because there are videos here every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows that comes out every Monday. And that's all the things that I have to say.
Incredible. You've done it again.
I think I have, haven't I?
Bless you. You're welcome. Namaste.
Goodbye.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. Namaste.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.